Christmas is about a miracle birth. More precisely, Christmas is about a miracle birth that makes possible other miracle births, because every time this story is told, it occasions new miracles. But for you to be a part of this miracle, you have to do something. You have to choose to receive Jesus Christ by the power of God and in the grace of God. You must choose to believe in Him. Because when you make the choice to receive Christ and to believe in Him, that choice causes the love of God to begin to shape your life and to brighten your days. That is part of what John wanted us to hear in the beginning of his gospel when he describes the birth of Christ in terms both personal and profound. It is among the rhetorical high points of the whole scripture. It's the beginning of John's gospel. If you have a copy of the scripture, would you open it with us there to John chapter 1? I'm going to share with you verses 1 through 5 and then 9 through 14. You can read 6 through 8. They're worth a whole sermon on their own, but they're sort of a discursus from what we're going to do. John chapter 1, verse 1, and there the scripture says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and apart from Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life. That life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true life that gives life to all people was coming into the world. And He was in the world. And though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, and His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is the word of the Lord. John begins his gospel on a big note: in the beginning. That takes us all the way back to Genesis 1. It's the very opening phrase of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was brooding over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. In the beginning takes us all the way back to creation, to darkness and to chaos, but the Word of God brought light and life and order and peace. Genesis 1 is there to tell us that the whole creation came about because of the love of God. That in the time before time, in the mystery of it all, something inside of God said, "This wonder of being alive is too much for me to keep for myself. I'm going to make others. Others with whom to share life and love. That they might know life and be loved." God, out of love and grace and generosity, made everything. I mean, think about it. If God were selfish or self-absorbed, He'd have never made anything, because we are trouble. We're difficult. And God knew that from the beginning. So the very fact of creation means that God loves. And if God is so active in the vastness of creation that not a sparrow falls without Him knowing it, then your life is not an accident. You are not an accident. God loves you. And John is calling all of that into our minds when he opens deliberately with that phrase from Genesis 1, "In the beginning." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. That word that said light, and there was light, that same word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Your translation may say, and dwelled among us. I like tabernacled. It's a verb you don't get to use often enough. And it's actually what John said. And it draws into our minds the tent of meeting during the Exodus, that place where the presence of God was in the midst of the people of God during the Exodus, that sanctuary that was the sheltering presence of God in strange days. When John says that the word tabernacled among us, what he wants us to hear is that God walks with us in the everydayness of our lives. During the Exodus, Israel lived with both danger and boredom. The scripture says they were going through the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. These are armed cities filled with armies of people who do not want them there. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, they have already come. It was a dangerous time. But it was 40 years that was also filled with a kind of boredom, mile after mile of desert terrain, day after day of repeating routine of gathering manna in the morning and then striking the tents and moving on to the next place where they would camp and setting it all back up again. Christopher Whitcomb wrote a book called Cold Zero about his experience on the original FBI hostage rescue team. And he tells the story that part of the selection was what they later called the run of undetermined length. All of the FBI agents who'd been assembled to try out for this team, 100 or so of them, were gathered in an auditorium, and they got their initial in-briefing, and then the leader said, "The door's open there, run. The first 30 of you to get to the finish line, go on to the next phase." And they had no idea whether it was a 100-yard dash or a marathon. And so people took out running and following the course that was marked out for them. And some ran too fast and burned out. And others lagged too far behind, thinking it would be a longer race than it was, and were never able to catch back up. They just ran and they ran, never knowing when they turned a corner if there'd be another corner or if that was the finish line. He said the race turned out to be about 10 miles. Of constantly thinking there was going to be more in front of them. Sometimes life feels that way. We just have no idea how long this ordeal is going to go on or what we're going to have to do. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among them. When God tabernacled with Israel every step of the way, every part of the day, He was in their midst. And John says He's going to do that again. He's come to tabernacle with us. The Creator of the universe became a baby in a manger. Hebrews says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but we have one who was tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin." John opened his gospel on a note of praise. That the Creator of the universe, the one who spoke the world into being, the one who tabernacled with Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, that God has come to us in Jesus. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And we're supposed to read those words out loud together in worship. And we're supposed to want that birth. And this baby, the Messiah, in our lives, to give us the gift of life, lives that matter. We're to receive this gift that God is giving us in Jesus and believe in Him, to believe on Him, to build our lives on what He tells us. That word believe means to seize with strong affection. It emphasizes activity on our part because what we believe and how we receive are directly connected to one another. We know that this time of year because we're trying to intuit what other people want, or maybe you just send them a Google Doc with links of the things that you want so they'll know what you want. But when our kids were little, we had to try to figure that out. And sometimes we were not good gift givers. We would think and plan and dream and imagine what our kids wanted, and we would save up and buy the perfect gift, only to discover when they were little, they liked the box more than the thing that was in the box. Or they were just as content with a pan from the kitchen and something to bang on it, or a paper towel tube. We picked the wrong gift. But have you been there? On Christmas morning, when a child comes in and the thing that they want more than anything in the world is theirs, and it's right there before them, and they light up, and there's a sort of inexplicable, indescribable joy. Something that wells up from the depth of their being and pours out. They just can't imagine anything better than a life with this gift. That's a biblical image. A kind of joy that comes only from this gift that God is offering us. God wants to give us the gift of Jesus. God wants to make us beloved children. He wants to welcome us into His family. So this second Sunday of Advent, where we've lighted the love candle, have you received that gift? Is the love of God animating your life? Because this gift will change your life. It will give you life. Marianne Bird tells the story of her life in a little book called The Whisper Test. This is how she tells the story. I grew up knowing that I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate. And when I started school, my classmates made clear to me how I looked to them. I was a little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided feet, and garbled speech. And when schoolmates would ask, "What happened to your lip?" I would tell them that I fell down and cut it on a piece of glass. And I believed that no one could really love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade whom we adored. Miss Leonard was her name. She was short, dumpy, round, and a sparkling woman. And annually, we would have a hearing test. Now, I was deaf in one ear. But when I took the test, I discovered if I did not press down on my good ear as I was supposed to do, I could pass the test. And every year, the teacher, sitting solemnly at her desk, would whisper something. We would repeat it, and that was the test. In years past, they would say something like, "The sky is blue," or, "You have new shoes," but not Miss Leonard. I waited for those words which God must have put in her mouth, those seven words that changed my life. Miss Leonard whispered, "I wish you were my little girl." We come here every week because 2,000 years ago, God sent us a gift in Jesus to say, "I wish you were mine. I love you, and I will be with you every step of the way." The love of God is waiting for you. Have you received it? Do you believe Him?